right, good morning. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. Great to see you guys. So great to be with you. Doesn't the stage look great? Isn't that great? The ladies did a great job, and my wife did a great job. And so, and again, the ladies yesterday, the tea was amazing. You're right. Yes, I spy on the ladies' tea, so I know that. But it was just a great day and just a great weekend. So glad you can be with us to celebrate. And if you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Matthew chapter 13. As we look today at the parable of the sower and the soils, I want to read a couple of verses for you, then we'll pray and dig into this. But notice what it says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. It says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you reveal your word to us in many ways, that you speak straightforward to us. God, that you speak to us in parables and give us pictures of what you're trying to say, because you know that sometimes we're dull of hearing, we're dull of seeing, we're dull of understanding. And I thank you for doing that, Lord, to give us different avenues so that we might understand your word and we might understand your kingdom and we might understand you. And so, God, I pray as we look at your word today and we look at the parable of the sower and the soils, God, I pray that you would challenge us on the soil of our heart and which one we are. And God, let your word now change us if we have the wrong soil to the right soil. And Lord, if we have the correct soil, let it produce the fruit for which you sent it to produce. So God, pour out your spirit now and minister to your people through your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we talk about the parable of the sower. Jesus called it the parable of the sower, so I'm not going to change that. That's what it is. But I added the parable of the sower and the soils because the Lord's going to look not only at what he's like as a farmer in sowing the hearts of mankind, but the type of soil we have makes all the difference in the world as to whether we receive it and especially as to whether we produce any fruit. And what we're going to see this morning is every single one of us in here has one of these four types of soil. And I want to challenge you today, which soil are you? And if you see that you're one of the soils that's not producing fruit, then I want to challenge you to ask God to give you a heart and to give you soil and to work your heart in such a way that you can begin to produce fruit and you can be a soil that will produce righteousness unto God and, more importantly, salvation. And so the Lord is going to reveal that, and he's going to show us some codes, if you will, about the parables as we look at God working in our hearts. You know, we often think of Jesus as the good shepherd, and so he is, but today we're going to see him as the good farmer, or we might say the holy farmer, and that is even as Jesus is a shepherd to his sheep, he is also the one by determining the soils and how the seed grows, who's going to be in his flock and who's not. Now, again, it's not that God doesn't give the opportunity for everyone to be a part of his flock, but it depends on the soil of the heart, whether you can receive it and whether or not you produce fruit unto salvation. And that's where as you learn to recognize and do self-examination today about which soil you are. Again, if you see that you're not the soil you need to be, you can pray for God to change it, because that's going to depend on your salvation and your eternity with God or there without. Now, again, soil, if there's good soil, there's going to be good fruit when you hear the word of God. If there's bad soil, it will make no difference. There'll be no lasting effect. And again, we'll see that today as the Lord works through this parable. And only those who have good soil and produce fruit from seed that is planted by the Lord can be a part of his flock and a part of his, if you will, his crop unto the kingdom. But note this, as we get into this, we're going to see this. The problem is not with the seed. The seed is pure. The seed is rich. As a matter of fact, as we hear the word of God this morning, seeds are being scattered in your hearts. And it's as though these golden nuggets that contain everything you need for life and godliness are being cast out into the audience right now. They land in hearts that can receive it and produce fruit, or they bounce off, or they're choked out. We're going to see all the different things that happen to it. But it's not the seed that's the problem. It's the heart of the person hearing the seed. And so we're going to see the Lord bring that out and give us a lot of explanations as to where we are today and maybe what we've seen in people's lives around us as we look at this. Now, let's jump right in. Notice it says here in chapter 13, verse 1, it says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Now, notice, first of all, it says on the same day. On what day? Well, this was the day, if you remember from last week, he had been fighting with the religious leaders. Again, they called them the Pharisees. For our purposes today, let's just call them the unsaved religious. And you'll hear me use that term over and over because there's a lot of people that are very, very religious, but they don't know God. And they live based off their religion and their legalism and their laws and their rules. And they fought against the Lord all the time. And so remember, last week we saw the Lord. They were saying, you've got to do these things. You've got to follow these laws. You've got to obey the Sabbath. Not the way the Bible reveals the Sabbath, but the way that we say the Sabbath is. And the Lord rebuked them. And he fought with them. So all day already, he's been fighting the physical battle with these religious unsaved. All day, he's been fighting the spiritual battle with the spiritual realm that's attacking him. And yet, what I love about the Lord is his day is not done. And what an inspiration this is to us. And what do I mean by that is, look, there's always work to be done. And if God opens the door, then walk through that door. If you're doing ministry, if God gives you a chance, even if you're tired, if God opens that door, I can't tell you how many times there's maybe a long, hard day, and I'm just tired, and God opens up a door for ministry, and I can hear my heart begin to grumble, saying, oh, I'm already exhausted, and I know this is going to take a long time, you know. This is going to be a lot of onion to unpeel, so to speak, and yet God says, do it. I've called you to do it, and I'll give you the strength. This is what Jesus did. He was diligent, and even after a long, hard day, he realized there's multitudes here. They need to be taught. They need to understand God, and they need to know the kingdom. And notice it says, the great multitudes were gathered there, and he got out of the boat on the water. No doubt one of the boats of the disciples. It tells us he did that in other gospels. And so what was the second thing we notice here? That is the Lord being seen this massive crowd. And massive crowds were, again, at this time, just following the Lord everywhere. And no doubt thousands of people gathered on the bank. Well, if you've ever been in a large crowd like that, you realize you can see everybody right there, but that's all you can see is what's right in front of you. You know the crowd's there, but you can't really make eye contact. You can't see them. You can't communicate. He says, give me one of your boats. I'm going to go out where I can see everybody. So he backs out in the water where they can't crowd around him. He can see everybody there on the bank. And not only would it given him a vantage point of seeing everybody he was speaking to, but again, it would have given natural amplification. Again, sound does not penetrate through water very well. So when sound hits water, it rides right along the surface and would have gone right up into the bank and right up into those that were watching. So the Lord had his natural amplification. He's there before all the people. The crowds are amassed in large numbers. He's got their full attention because they've heard what he's been doing and fighting against the religious leaders of the day and teaching the word of God. And now he begins to jump into these parables. And notice what he says to them here in verse 3. It says, then he spoke to them many things in parables. Now, let's take a moment to explain what a parable is before we get into the parable, and that is the word parable is made up of two different words in the Greek language, the word para and the word bole, B-O-L-E, para and bole, or parable, where we get it. Para means alongside, bole means to throw something or cast something at something. So what he's saying is a parable is something that you put alongside, for example, alongside the teaching of the Lord, and then you throw that in there so it gives them a full image, a picture of what God is saying or what the Lord is trying to get across to them. So the parables are given to give more light, more information, something thrown alongside the teaching so we can understand it better. Now, you may have heard people say, and I've heard people say over the years that, again, parables, it seems as though the Lord is trying to hide something with a parable. That's not true at all. The parables were given so we could understand it better. And the Lord knew that their hearts had grown dull, so he was trying to reach them in a different way. But we're going to see that parables are used by the Lord in two different ways. First of all, they're used to reveal truth to those who want the truth. That is, if you're here this morning and you desire to know more about the kingdom of God and you desire to know more about the Lord, this is going to come to life. God's going to make it spring to life because he gives you greater understanding if you desire it. However, we're also going to see that the Lord reveals that parables are used to hide the truth from those who don't want the truth. Now, it's not that God doesn't want to reveal the truth to everyone. He wants everyone to know the truth, and he wants to reveal the truth to all people, but he knows those who want the truth, and he knows those who don't want the truth. And a parable, if they're not going to hear the straightforward speech of the Lord, a parable's not going to help. It simply oftentimes drives them farther away. Well, I don't understand this. I don't know what he's talking about. I'm out of here. And so God uses it in both ways. He either draws you in or oftentimes reveals that your heart is not open to hear by using a parable. And so we're also going to see as we get into the parables that the parables have a written code, that if you understand the code, you will understand the parables. Now, what do I mean by that? In other words, the Lord is going to reveal to us here, and if you read the other gospels that pertain to this same issue, he tells us what each of the symbols mean. For example, the Lord's going to show us that the seed is the word of God. And later next week, we're going to see the seed is actually the children of God. So it's both the word of God and the children of God. We're going to see that he reveals that birds are actually the demonic realm and represent Satan in the demonic realm. And he reveals that when you see the picture in all the gospels. And why does he do that? So that we can understand what he's saying. If there wasn't a code to understand, or a key, if you will, to understand the parables, anyone could say they mean what they want them to mean. And nobody would know what they mean. So even like with prophecy, God is consistent in using symbols and pictures for all prophecy, all through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. God does the same thing here with the parables. You'll notice that he'll speak of them in all the parables using the same symbolism so that we can understand it. It's the key to interpretation. When they asked him in Mark, the same episode is going on in Mark, and they asked him, Lord, what does all this mean? We don't understand. And he said this pertaining to this particular parable when they asked him about understanding. He said in Mark 4:13 this, notice, he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So here we see is a key. If you don't understand what these things represent in this parable, you won't understand everything else I'm going to show you in the parables. So it's very important that we get what the key words are, what they mean, and then we can have an understanding of what the Lord is saying. Again, we're going to see as he gets into this parable, the four different types of soil. And by the way, there are only four types of hearts in the world. And these four types are going to be revealed. And there's a great chance that all four of these are in this room this morning. Again, only the Lord knows. But what I want you to do is examine, which heart am I? Which soil am I? And let the Lord challenge you this morning. So he begins now to give them the parable. Notice what he says. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And he sowed, and some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Now, the first type of soil, he says here, is a soil that is very hardened. It fell by the wayside. Now, what was the wayside? Understand, in that day, there were lots of farms and lots of agriculture. They were an agrarian society, lots of wheat fields everywhere. So when you travel through the land, you would have to walk through the wheat fields. So the farmers would have paths that went through the wheat fields. They'd have paths that went around the wheat fields so you wouldn't walk down the middle of their standing grain. But the problem is, and really not really a problem for them in that purpose, but in the type of heart the Lord is describing, it's a pathway that's beaten down by so many people walking on it for so long. A very hardened path, a very beaten down path. It's the type of thing, if seed was thrown and landed on that area, there's no way it could ever penetrate because it is so hard the seed can't get in. And the problem is, if the seed falls on that kind of hardened ground and can't penetrate the ground, then the birds eventually see the seed laying there, and the birds come and they pull all the seeds away. Now, again, I've already let the cat out of the bag as to what this means. We'll let the Lord explain it more in a moment, but there's the first type of soil. Now he comes to the second one. Notice what he says. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up and they were scorched, because they had no root, they withered away. Now he says there's a second group here, another type of soil that has some softness to it, but there's a lot of hardness as well. Part soft, part hard, a lot of rocky territory in that type of soil. And also he says with all those rocks, it's not very deep. So the seed gets planted there and it begins to grow just like all the other crops. You see the green come up in those areas. You don't see anything come up in the hardened, but in the areas where there's a little bit of soil that's workable, you see it pop up with all the other wheat. But when the sun comes out, when the heat gets turned on, it withers and begins to melt away. And he says, that's the second kind of soil that's out there. He goes on to the next one. He says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Now note this, they fell among thorns. It doesn't mean that the seed was planted and then thorns came up and surrounded it. It means that the thorns were already there. He says they were planted among thorns. And then the seed surrounded it and choked it out. In other words, this is a picture of there's good soil that's there. Obviously, it's workable soil. The weeds can grow. The thorns can grow. But they're so thick that it doesn't let the wheat grow. That's the third type of soil. And he comes to the last one. He says, but other fell on good ground and yielded a crop. That is, they're well-cultivated, rich soil, no weeds, no thorns in the way, open to receive what the farmer was putting down, able to get good root system, able to grow deep. And notice the result of this. He says, some were 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. This would have gotten their attention. Again, he's saying, he who has ears, let him hear. He's speaking in a spiritual sense and trying to get their attention about the kinds of hearts that they all have and what he's dealing with. And he would say the same thing to us. If you've got ears to hear this morning, listen to what God is saying to you. Recognize the type of soil that you have and act on it. Cry out to God to restore something that needs to be restored or whatever needs to be done. But this would have really gotten their attention because notice some produces 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30. This was unheard of. I mean, seed generally is maybe 1 to 8 of its yield, maybe 1 to 10 of its yield. He's saying one seed can produce 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. What kind of seed is this? He's now going to reveal this is the golden seed of God's word. You see, what's happening this morning, guys, that's so exciting is that God's word is now being cast on your hearts. And depending on what kind of soil, what kind of heart you have, is going to be the outcome of what that seed is going to do. The seed isn't the problem. It's golden. It's rich. It has everything in it. It is needed to produce fruit. But if your heart doesn't allow it to produce fruit, it won't. The exciting thing is even as we're reading this, the seeds that are being planted, they're going to grow later and they're going to produce even more fruit. And it's to realize that God is doing something even beyond our control. Just hearing the word of God, just planting the seeds in the heart has a great crop. And that's what he's talking about. Now, again, the disciples don't quite get this. So they ask him, Lord, what in the world are you talking about? And notice there in verse 10, it says, and the disciples came to him and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Now, it's Mark that tells us they didn't know what was going on, and they'll reveal that even later. But they want to know, why is it that you're speaking to them in parables? You speak to us very straightforwardly. You speak to us plainly. Why in parables to them? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. Listen, if you're understanding what's being said this morning, that is a gift of God. God is giving you right now the ability to understand. Don't squander it. Don't throw it away. So many people do not understand. And if God is opening your eyes and opening your heart, it is a gift from God. I remember when God opened my eyes. I heard the Bible a lot my whole life. I grew up going to church, so to speak, and all. And I remember when, again, Tracy was actually the one sharing, reading the word to me, and we're looking at the word together, and it just made no sense to me. I didn't understand it, but I desired to. And again, it's that whole principle that if you desire to understand, God will give you the ability to understand. If you don't desire to understand, you'll not have that ability. And I had the desire, and in a moment of time, boom, in a second, my eyes were opened, and I realized this is the word of God. I didn't know why. All I knew is that all of a sudden I knew this is God's word, and I became very, very frightened because I realized I am not living this way, and this is not who I am. But now I know something just happened. I didn't understand all the spiritual things that had just taken place, but something just happened that let me know this is God's word from heaven speaking to mankind, and it freaked me out. And I ran for a couple of years, okay? That's part of my testimony, and God brought me back around. But the reality is, it was given to me. Why did he give that to me? He said, I see your heart. You don't know me. And you're a mess, Mark. But I'm going to give you this because I know you want to know me. And boom. See, the question is this morning, do you want to know him? Do you want to understand? If you don't, nothing's going to happen. You'll leave this place the same way you walked in. But if you want to know his word, you're not going to leave here the same way you came in. You're going to leave different, not only from what God says to you today, but the seeds that are going to be planted that'll sprout later down the road. And so he says, it's been given to you. He says, but to them it has not been given. That's because they didn't want it. For whoever has, notice this, I love this, for whoever has to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. He says, you know what? If you want to receive the things of God, if you want to understand God's word, if you want more of God, you're going to be given more. All you can handle, I will continue to increase it, God says. He says, if you don't want it, it's going to get weaker and weaker and weaker and darker until finally you're going to be separated forever for eternity from God. And that's why the choice we make is so important. But the exciting thing to me is if we do receive it, he would say, yes, I want what you have to give, Lord. If we do that, God says, I'm going to continue to give it abundance. You see, you already have an understanding if you know the Lord. God's already producing fruit in your life if you know the Lord. And what's cool is all this golden seed of God's word that's landing in your heart this morning, it's going to produce more fruit down the road. And the more you read it, more fruit. And the more you hear it, more fruit. And the more you live it, more fruit. It just continues to go into abundance. And that's exciting to me. Again, I when I first came to the Lord, I used to think, and really for years into that, I love when you share the Lord with somebody and they give their life to the Lord. But sometimes when you're sharing with somebody, it's the first seeds that have been planted. And I would be the type to go, look, I want to plant this seed. I want to see this seed grow. And now are you ready to receive Christ? And it just never worked. It's like, you know what? It just didn't happen that quick. Plant the seeds and pray. It takes time for the seeds to grow. It takes time for God to work. Now, some of you had the opportunity in this room to be able to lead somebody to the Lord. You've shared the gospel with them. They've received it or whatever. You're like, wow, I led them to the Lord. Listen, yes, you are part of that process, but it's because somebody else already planted seeds a long time ago. It's because somebody else was watering that seed, and God gave you the privilege of being the one to bring in the harvest. And so I'm not taking anything away from that, but the reality is when we get a chance to pray and somebody gives their life to the Lord, it came with a lot of hard work from other people in their life up to that point. So when you're planting seeds in people's lives and in their hearts, wait, be patient, pray, know that it's going to take time for that seed to bear fruit, if indeed it's going to bear fruit, and that depends on the type of soil that they have. But if you do have that, even more will be given. If you don't, it's going to fade away to nothing. Therefore, verse 13, because of all this, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand, as I'm trying to reach them a different way. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and you shall not understand, seeing you will see and you will not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Note that, I have that underlined, has grown dull. Listen, no child starts out with a dull heart, no child. Children start out with a very supple heart for the things of God. Children naturally believe in God. Listen, before I ever knew the Lord, I didn't come to the Lord until I was 25 years old. When I was a kid, I knew that God was real. I knew he was. And you did too. When you were a kid, if you're able to think back on it, listen, nobody is born an agnostic. Nobody's born an atheist. It is something that you are taught, and it is something that happens over time as the heart grows dull. And that's all the more reason, moms and dads, take those beautiful little hearts, take the golden seeds of God's word and sow it abundantly in their little hearts. Don't just let people do it in kids' church. That's great. I'm glad we have kids' church, but mom and dad, throughout the week, you need to be working the fields. You need to be planting that seed. You need to be reading the word of God to them. All that going in there, because right now, this is the moment. This is the freshest, darkest, blackest potting soil you're ever going to see in their entire life. Take advantage of it. Just let it soak in, because as they get older, if you don't, they're going to grow harder. The sin of the world, the deception of the world, the things of the world, you've got to plant that in there. Take advantage. That's why I encourage you even now. You know, in babies in the history of Israel, they would always take the baby when they were first born and begin to share the word of God with them. And I've already started doing that with my granddaughter. Pour the seeds in there. Get that fertile soil while it's still fertile, because it's going to grow dull. And their hearts, notice this, their hearts had grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they, note that, their eyes, they have closed. He's saying, I'm not closing their eyes. I'm not hiding anything by using parables. They chose to close their eyes. They chose to harden their heart. They chose to grow dull. I'm trying to break through. I'm trying to use analogies. I'm trying to give pictures. I'm trying to reach them in any way that they'll listen. And a great illustration or an analogy is a great way to reach people that are hardened. He says, that's what I'm trying to do. But they chose it. They've done it. I didn't do it. He said, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand and their hearts with their hearts and turn, that is repent. If they would simply repent, I would receive them. He said, so that I should heal them. And the same thing is true for all of us in this room today. If you will simply ask God to forgive you, if you know you're living in sin this morning and you're not walking with God, all you have to do is say, God, forgive me. And I would encourage you, even if you're one of these soils, and the Lord's going to give more about the soils in a moment, you can cry out to God and say, God, change the soil of my heart. Even if your heart is so hard, you don't desire God. Maybe you came to church today for whatever the reason. Somebody invited you. You just decided to come. I don't know. God brought you here. You may not realize that. But you're like going, I don't know what I think about this and how long is this going to go and I don't really care. If you can hear at all, he who has ears, let him hear. If you can hear God's spirit speaking to you in even the smallest way, then say this to God. Say, God, please, I don't really seem to care that much, but if this is real, make me care. Change my heart. Soften it. I'll give you a shot, Lord. Work in me. Do something here. Ask him to. Because if you give God an opportunity, he'll be happy to do that. It's those who say, I don't want you, that it never happens. And notice this. Now he turns back to his disciples, and we're included in this. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Again, what a blessing. If you're understanding the word of God this morning, God gave you that ability. It's such a blessing that you can do that. He says, for assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired, that means greatly desired, to see what you see and they did not see it, and to hear what you hear and they did not hear it. That is, all the prophets before you, they would have loved to have seen the Messiah. They would have loved to have known what they were doing. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that oftentimes the prophets were writing down the word of God and they didn't even know what they were writing. Can you imagine the spirits moving like, oh, wow, okay, ooh, oh, wow, what is this? What does this mean? You know, this is, I just wish I knew what this meant. I have no idea, but I know it's you, God, and I feel your spirit. He says they wanted to know. They wanted to know that it was about me. They wanted to know the Messiah. And not only did they get that privilege, we have that privilege this morning. See, we understand God is showing us what a great privilege it is. He says, therefore, now he goes on to explain the different soils and give examples here. He says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower, speaking to his disciples and now speaking to us this morning. Let us hear. First of all, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, that is, the seed is the word of God, and they do not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. That is, the birds represent the evil realm. And when the seed is planted and it bounces off of the hardened heart, Satan can't wait just to grab it and say, you know what, I'm glad that service is over. Let's get out of here. There's a ball game today. Are you hungry? I'm hungry too. Let's go. And the service means absolutely nothing to your heart. Again, if that's where you are and you recognize that, even now you're saying, this means nothing at this point, ask for mercy from God. Not because of the speaker. It has nothing to do with me. It's the word of God that can't penetrate your heart. And he says, here's the deal. He said, they don't understand it. Even what they have, the enemy's going to come and immediately pluck it right away. You won't even get out of the building probably before the enemy silences everything. He says, this is he who receives seed by the wayside. The beaten down path is so hard in the heart that no seed of God can even penetrate it or get in. He goes on now to the second one. Notice this. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution, that is the heat, comes, arises, notice this, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Again, this is the person that has some soil that's good and a lot of rocks. And there's no real depth. This is the kind of person, and I've seen this over the years, they'll come to church, they give their life to the Lord, end quote. They're so excited for 4, 5, 6 months, bouncing around about the things of God, and suddenly they just disappear. I'm not talking about those that go to another fellowship. That happens, and that's great. I'm talking about those who walk away from God. I'm not saying I want you to leave. Don't get me wrong. I came across wrong. But I'm talking about those who just walk away from everything. And then you begin to go, hey, have you seen, Where is Jim? I haven't seen Jim in a while. Yeah, he was so excited. He was so enthusiastic. He's kind of disappeared. And you wonder, where is he? Yeah, I noticed he's gone. And maybe you run into Jim somewhere and like, hey, what's going on? We're missing your church. Yeah. Maybe I'll come back sometime. Maybe I will. But you can already tell. They want nothing to do with it. Because they're that type of soul. There's no depth of character. There's no root system that can take root. And here's the deal. Notice this. He says, they fall away because of the word. Here's how this happens. This is the type of person, they believe until they get around their friends. And they say, yeah, I've given my life to the Lord. And all that, what? You got religion on me? Well, I mean, you know, I start going to church and you know, yeah, I go to church now. You mean to tell me you believe in God? You believe these things about God? You believe the Bible? And you know what? What, a fish swallowed some guy and spit him up 3 days later? You think the earth was created in 6 days? What a fool you are. You really believe that stuff? Well, I mean, I'm kind of new at this. I can't believe, man. You used to be cool. What's going on with you? You know? Well, yeah, I mean, maybe I don't believe it that much. And then they walk away. See, when the sun gets too hot, the pressure of the friendship is more important than God. The pressure at work is more important than making a stand for Christ. Listen, if you can't stand on the word of God and say, you know what, the world's going to mock you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to do all kinds of things. If you can't stand there and say, I hate this, but I'm not going anywhere, you need to pray for God to give you a better root system. You need to say, God, you've got to make my soil better. You've got to let my roots go deeper because no one likes it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying pray for you. You're not going to like being mocked. You're not going to like the world making fun of you, but you should be able to stand there no matter how hot the heat gets and say, you know what? I know you don't believe this. I know this is tense, but I'm not going anywhere. I know what Jesus said. I believe the word of God, and I'm standing on it. And this is the person that doesn't have that character. They don't have that soil. And again, when I say that, if you're saying, that's me this morning, but don't panic. Ask God to change it. Ask God to give you a deeper soil, a deeper character that can make a stand regardless of who rejects you and make it your desire to please God regardless of what people think. because this is about the Lord and this is about your eternity. That's the second type of soil that's in here, probably. Here's the third type. Notice what he says. He says next, verse 22, now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world. Aren't there a lot of cares of the world? And the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. This is the person that has so much busyness in their life. So many things choking out. All the goals they're after, all the things they want to do, all the things they want to achieve, all the things they want to be. They're so busy with the cares of this world and the weeds of this life and the thorns of this life, if you will, although they might not see it that way, that although there's some good soil down there, when the seed lands on that soil, the seed goes, you know, let's grow. It tries to grow. And what happens? The weeds grow around it, start choking it out. It tries to grow even taller. What happens? The thorns block it and won't let it grow to fruition, to produce fruit, and it's choked out because of the cares of the world. I've seen people like this over the years, and they talk about God, and they seem to appear to know God, to walk with God, but they're more concerned about all the things they're doing in the world, and God's kind of secondary. That's this kind of person. And again, if that's you this morning, here's what happened. It's going to choke out any fruit. You're not going to be able to produce any fruit. And note this, the first three in this category, none of them produce fruit. The only one that's going to produce fruit is the one in the category number four. That is, the majority of those who hear the word of God are not going to produce fruit. Don't be in the majority. Be in the minority. Be in that 25% that say, Lord, whatever you have to do in my life, I want to produce fruit. I want to do this for you, not just so that I might be saved, which is, again, your salvation forever, but also to produce fruit unto the Lord. Notice verse 23, but he who receives the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. That is, the area is cleared out. God has cleared out the weeds. God has cleared out the thorns. You're now available to say, Lord, plant your seed in my heart. Let it produce fruit of what you want it to produce in my life, and I'll receive it, God. Now, again, he goes on to give another parable and, again, uses some of the same analogies to drive this home, again, of this whole planting and working in the fields. Again, this was something they would have understood because of being that agrarian society. And notice what he says. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. So here's the Lord. We talked about his word being seed. Now we see seed is also people. He's sowing believers. We'll see that not this week, but next week. Next week, we're going to get into the explanation of this parable. We don't have time today, but we're going to cover the basics of it. But it says, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. Now, why did the tares also appear? Let's talk about this for a moment. What are the tares? The tares are what they call in the Middle East the bearded darnel. And what that is, it looks exactly like real wheat, but it's fake. And the farmers over there say, you cannot tell the difference. When the bearded darnel are growing and the wheat are growing side by side, it looks exactly like wheat. And they grow and they grow and they grow, like the Lord is saying. How do you identify that they're tares? How do you identify that they're not? And notice it says here, it says, when the grain sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares appeared also. Why did the tares appear? This is so great, guys. You know how they identified in that day, the way they identified the wheat from the tares? They let them grow together. And when the wheat developed fruit in the stalk, it would bow down. And the tares would remain standing upright. And the farmer said, that's the real wheat, and that's the fake. And what the Lord is going to show us is that the enemy actually will send people into the real church, people who claim they're believers, among the wheat. And the way you're going to know the wheat from the tares is the wheat are those that are bowing in reverence and humility before God. Let me give you an example of this. I see this, you know, throughout the years I've seen this as a pastor. And I'll give you an example. People oftentimes come up and they'll say, could you pray for me? I know that I've done some things I shouldn't have done. I just need prayer. And it's sweet before God. It's a sweet moment. It's like, yes, let's pray. This is sweet. Let's get it right with God. Confess it. And of course, they've already confessed it, but they want their pastor to pray for them. And the first thing they do when they walk up to me is they bow. Not to me, to God. They're like, I want to make sure I clear that up. They bow before the Lord. And you'll see that kind of bowing. Here's where I see it in believers oftentimes. They'll come up and they'll start talking, and then if some kind of sin gets revealed or something they're telling, you can just kind of see in their heart going, I know this isn't right. And sometimes they'll visibly bow. Sometimes they'll just bow in heart. And that's so blessed, so pleasing to the Lord to say, you know what? God sees your heart. Let's pray right now and get it right. And that's a blessing. And then you'll see other people come up, and they'll just start talking. You know, it's good to be here and kind of nice. Glad we came today. My girlfriend and I are here, and we're glad to be here. I said, great. Good to have you guys. You guys, do you live around here? Yeah. Well, you know, we live around here. Been here a while. We thought we'd come check out the church, you know. We just got a place together we got a place together. I see. Okay. It's your girlfriend. Yeah, it's girl. Okay. So has anybody ever shared the Lord with you? Oh, well, no, I'm a Christian. I've been walking with the Lord for years. So you go, oh, okay. So tell me about that. Well, yeah, they give you whatever, and you just say, what do you know? The Bible says that you're not supposed to be living with someone you're not married to, and the Bible says you're not supposed to be especially being physical with someone you're not married to. Well, don't judge me, brother. You watch the terror rise up. I've seen it over and over. The terror will rise up. Don't judge me, man. You know what the believer does? Oh, I can't believe you said that, Pastor. I need to get this right. They bow because they love God and they're true wheat and they have fruit. Whereas the terror stands upright. No one will tell me what to do. Now listen, when that happens, I don't look and go, you're a terror in the name of Jesus. No. You know what? That tells me right there what I need to know. And this is something you need to know as a believer. It's good to be able to identify the wheat from the tares. And here's why. Now you know what to do. Let's talk a little bit about your salvation experience. Why don't you tell me about it? Did you ever really repent? Did you? And you begin to talk to them, and you may have a chance to lead them to the Lord. But if you think they're a believer because they tell you that you are, but you can tell they're not really, you're not going to give them the gospel. And you're not going to pray for them. And so, you know, again, you need to be able to recognize whether or not this is the real or whether or not it's the fake. And so he says, you'll know the tares appeared because, again, the wheat are bowing down. Look at verse 27. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. And the servant said to him, do you want us to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the time of harvest. And I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. In other words, let them grow together. He's given a picture we'll see next week of the very end when he gathers everyone together for judgment. He'll separate the real from the fake, those who are pretending from those who are real. Those that are real will go into the kingdom. Those that won't will be eternally separated out, you know, again from the Lord. And so he gives this whole picture here talking about this. But the problem with the tares is, and don't do it now because their roots intertwine. We'll get more into that next week and what that means as far as us as believers and even as a church. But let me just challenge you with this today. Listen, which type of soil are you? I want you to examine your own heart. Are you producing fruit? If you're not producing fruit, you need to ask why. First of all, am I a hardened heart that is not even allowing the word of God to come in? Number two, am I shallow where I don't have a full commitment to the Lord? Number three, am I so busy with all the things of life and the cares of this world that no fruit can be produced, or am I producing fruit? And again, just some of you might even say, you know what? Well, I know that I'm a believer, but I don't see a lot of fruit in my life. Listen, if we were to go to court today, could you prove to me that you were a believer? Let's say we're standing before the judge and we're standing before the jury. And there they are, and you say, you know, I'm going to be my own, you know, lawyer, whatever. You go first. Yes. Well, you know what? I grew up in church, and my parents were saved, and so I've just kind of always believed in God, and there's my, you know, so I'm a believer. And they say, well, can I cross-examine, Your Honor? Yes, go ahead. Let me ask you a couple of questions. First of all, do you have any desire for the Bible? Do you ever read it? Well, I mean, when I went to church, I heard the pastor, you know, read it. Okay. Second question, do you ever pray? You ever have any desire to pray? Well, before meals, yeah, before, yeah, well, that's cultural. Have you ever just desired to pray apart from that? Well, you know, I almost went, I wrecked one time. Okay, all right. Did you ever see a change in your life where you turned away from your sin? I'm not talking about perfection, but you turned away from your sin and you began to try to follow the Lord. Well, I've just kind of always followed the Lord. Your Honor, I submit to you that although he says he is, I find no evidence that this man even knows the Lord. What would that be for us if we stood before the Lord today? What would that be? Would there be any evidence? Would there be any fruit in our life to prove that we even know the Lord? Listen, I say this to challenge us because you need to make sure that you can prove by the fruit of your life that you're a true believer. And you need to make sure you have the right kind of heart and the right kind of soil or nothing's ever going to take root and grow. So as we finish today, I want to pray for God to soften hearts that need to be softened, for God to, again, water the seeds that are being received in the heart. And if God has shown you this morning that maybe you're not a believer, but a make-believer, that you make a true commitment this morning by saying, Lord, you know what? I really have no evidence to show that I'm yours. And if there's no kernels at the end of the grain, how do you know you're not just a tear? You need to take it to the Lord and ask him. And if you know God begins to reveal to you that it's not there, you need to now confess your sin and say, Lord, I now choose to follow you. I give my life to you. Do what you need to do in my life to make it work. Let's pray and ask God to do it. Father, I thank you for revealing the different kinds of hearts and the different types of soils that are here this morning. And Lord, it's very possible with this many people, every single one of those are represented in this room. Some that really don't care at all about anything today. It really made no difference to them. They're kind of hoping it'll be over soon. And then those that maybe they're excited, but they can't see it. There's no real depth for lastability. And Lord, those that know they should do the right thing, but life's so busy and they'll try to work you in when they can. And then those, Lord, who say, Lord, here I am. I'm completely yours. Do with me as you want. Have your way with me. And Lord, I yield completely to you. Pour out your seeds that I receive now by faith. Change my life. Listen, if you recognize that this morning you're any one of those soils that is not receptive to let the seed grow and bear fruit, ask God to change your heart. And if you this morning have been convicted, saying, you know what, I really couldn't prove in a court of law that I'm a Christian. I can say it, but honestly, when I look at the fruit, I really have no evidence to bring the court. If that's you this morning and God is working in your heart saying, I've chosen you. I've now given it to you to hear my word. I've now given to you the ability to see. I've now given to you the ability to hear and to understand. That's a blessing of the Lord. If God is doing that this morning, respond. Say, Lord, I see, I hear, I understand. I know I'm not where I need to be. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I give my life to you. I believe you died for me on that cross, and I now choose to follow you. If that's you this morning, pray that prayer and seal your fate with Jesus Christ forever in the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you for the work that you've done by your Spirit this morning. And Lord, I pray that truly the seeds that are planted today will be seeds that bear fruit unto salvation and fruit unto eternal reward among those who already know you. And we thank you for the power of your word and the fact that the power of your word is working in hearts right now. And we give you all the glory and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.